text 7. Prayena manayo rajan nivritta vidishidatah nargunyastaramanti sma gunanukatane hare. O King Parikshit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regulative principles and restrictions take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. Purport. The topmost transcendentalist is a liberated soul and is therefore not within the purview of the regulative principles. A neophyte, who is intended to be promoted to the spiritual plane, is guided by the spiritual master under regulative principles. He may be compared to a patient who is treated by various restrictions under medical jurisdiction. Generally, liberated souls also take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities. As mentioned above, since Narayan, Hari, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation, his form and attributes are not material. The topmost transcendentalists, or the liberated souls, realize him by advanced experience of transcendental knowledge, and therefore they take pleasure in the discussion of the transcendental qualities of the Lord's pastimes. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the personality of Godhead declares that his appearance and activities are all divyam, or transcendental. The common man, who is under the spell of material energy, takes it for granted that the Lord is like one of us, and therefore he refuses to accept the transcendental nature of the Lord's form, name, etc. The topmost transcendentalist is not interested in anything material, and his taking interest in the matter of the Lord's activities is definite proof that the Lord is not like one of us in the material world. In the Vedic literatures also, it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is one, but that he is engaged in his transcendental pastimes in the company of his unalloyed devotees, and that simultaneously he is present as the Supersoul, an expansion of Baladev, in the heart of all living beings. Therefore, the highest perfection of transcendental realization is to take pleasure in hearing and describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and not in merging into his impersonal Brahman existence, for which the impersonalist monist aspires. Real transcendental pleasure is realized in the glorification of the transcendental Lord, and not in the feeling of being situated in his impersonal feature. But there are also others who are not the topmost transcendentalists, but are in a lower status, and who do not take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities of the Lord. Rather, they discuss such activities of the Lord formally with the aim of merging into his existence. Text 8. Idam Bhagavatam Namo Pradhanam Brahma Samhitam Adittavan Vaparado Pitun Vaipayanadaham. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas, from my father, Srila Dvaipayana Vyasadev. Purport. The statement made by Srila Shukadeva Goswami that the topmost transcendentalist, who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulations and restrictions, mainly takes to the task of hearing about and glorifying the personality of Godhead, is verified by his personal example. Shukadeva Goswami, being a recognized liberated soul and the topmost transcendentalist, was accepted by all of the topmost sages present in the meeting during the last 7 days of Maharaj Parikshit. He cites from the example of his life that he himself was attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord, and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Sri Dvaipayana Vyasadev. Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter, any other scientific literature, cannot be studied at home by one's own intellectual capacity. Medical books of anatomy or physiology are available in the market, but no one can become a qualified medical practitioner simply by reading such books at home. One has to be admitted to the medical college and study the books under the guidance of learned professors. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the postgraduate study of the science of Godhead, can only be learned by studying it at the feet of a realized soul like Srila Vyasadeva. Although Shukadev Goswami was a liberated soul from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father Vyasadev, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of another great soul, Sri Narada Muni. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahmin to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavat. Srimad Bhagavatam is based on the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, entourage, and variegatedness of the Supreme Person. And it is spoken by the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, Srila Vyasadeva. Pastimes of the Lord are executed in cooperation with his pure devotees, and consequently, historical incidents are mentioned in this great literature because they are related to Krishna. It is called Brahma Samhitam because it is the sound representative of Lord Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the sound incarnation of the Lord because it is spoken by the Supreme Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound representative of the Lord because it was spoken by the incarnation of the Lord about the activities of the Lord. As stated in the beginning of this book, it is the essence of the Vedic desire tree and the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras, the topmost philosophical thesis on the subject matter of Brahman. Vyasadeva appeared at the end of Dwapara Yuga as the son of Satyavati, and therefore the word Dwapara Adau, or the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, in this context, means just prior to the beginning of the Kali Yuga. The logic of this statement, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, is comparable to that of calling the upper portion of the tree the beginning. The root of the tree is the beginning of the tree, but in common knowledge the upper portion of the tree is first seen. In that way, the end of the tree is accepted as its beginning. Text 9. Parinishtito pinayagunhi uttama shloka lilaya krihita cheta rajashi akyanam yadadhitivan. O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. Purport. The absolute truth is realized as the impersonal Brahman at the first instance by philosophical speculation, and later as the supersoul by further progress of transcendental knowledge. But if, by the grace of the Lord, an impersonalist is enlightened by the superior statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also converted into a transcendental devotee of the personality of Godhead. With a poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of the personality of the absolute truth. And the personal activities of the Lord are deplored by the less intelligent impersonalists. But reasons and arguments, together with the transcendental process of approaching the absolute truth, help even the staunch impersonalist to become attracted by the personal activities of the Lord. A person like Shukadev Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activity. But when such a devotee is convinced by a superior method, he is certainly attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are his activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal. Text 10. Tadaham ti bindhasyami mahapaurushiko bhavan yasya shandadadamasu Syanmakunde mati sati. That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you, because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is recognized Vedic wisdom, and the system of receiving Vedic knowledge is called Avaroha Punta, or the process of receiving transcendental knowledge through bona fide disciplic succession. For advancement of material knowledge, there is a need for personal ability and researching aptitude. But in the case of spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple, Only then is knowledge automatically manifest before the student of spiritual science. The process should not, however, be misunderstood to be something like magical feats, whereby the spiritual master acts like a magician and injects spiritual knowledge into his disciple, as if surcharging him with an electrical current. The bona fide spiritual master reasonably explains everything to the disciple on the authorities of Vedic wisdom. The disciple can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and a service attitude. The idea is that both the spiritual master and the disciple must be bona fide. In this case, the spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, is ready to recite exactly what he has learned from his great father, Srila Vyasadeva. And the disciple, Maharaj Parikshit, is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna is he who believes sincerely that by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one becomes fully equipped with everything spiritual. This teaching is imparted by the Lord himself in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, in which it is clearly described that the Lord, Sri Krishna, is everything, and that to surrender unto him solely and wholly makes one the most perfectly pious man. This unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepares one to become a student of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Shukadev Goswami is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Parikshit did. The professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the pseudo-devotees whose faith is based on 1 week's hearing are different from Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Srila Vyasadeva explained Srimad Bhagavatam unto Shukadev Goswami from the very beginning of the Janmadasya verse, and so Shukadev Goswami also explained it to the king. Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurusha in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, in his devotional feature as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself in his devotional attitude, descended on earth to bestow special favors upon the fallen souls of this age of Kali. There are 2 verses particularly suitable to offer as prayers to this Mahapurush feature of Lord Krishna. Jayam sadapadi bhavagnam abhishtadoham Tirtaspadam shivivadin chunatam sharanyam Vrityatiham pranatapala bhavabdipotam Vande mahapurushate charanaravindam Tyaknvasudushyajasurepshataraja-lakshmim Dharmishta-ayavachasahira-gararanyam Mayamrigam dayate-yepsitamanvadavad Vande mahapurushate-charanaravindam Bhagavatam 11.5.33-34. In other words, Purusha means the enjoyer, and Mahapurusha means the supreme enjoyer, or the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One who deserves to approach the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is called the Mahapaurushika. Anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attentively from its bona fide reciter is sure to become a sincere devotee of the Lord, who is able to award liberation. There was none so attentive as Maharaj Parikshit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was none so qualified as Shukadev Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. Maharaj Parikshit attained salvation by hearing only, and Shukadev Goswami attained salvation only by reciting. Recitation and hearing are 2 processes out of 9 devotional activities, and by strenuously following the principles, either in all or by parts, one can attain the absolute plane. So the complete text of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the Janmadasya verse up to the last one of the 12th canto, was spoken by Shukadev Goswami for the attainment of salvation by Maharaj Parikshit. In the Padma Purana, it is mentioned that Gautama Muni advised Maharaj Ambarish to hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam as it was recited by Shukadev Goswami, And herein it is confirmed that Maharaj Ambarish heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning to the end, as it was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. One who is actually interested in the Bhagavatam, therefore, must not play with it by reading or hearing a portion from here and a portion from there. One must follow in the footsteps of great kings like Maharaj Ambarish or Maharaj Parikshit, and hear it from a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami. Next we read from Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text 35. Bhagavan sarvabhuteshu dakshita svatmana hari drishya bunyadibir drashta lakshana anumapakai. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Purport. The general argument of the common man is that since the Lord is not visible to our eyes, how can one either surrender unto him or render transcendental loving service unto him? To such a common man, here is a practical suggestion given by Srila Shukadeva Goswami as to how one can perceive the Supreme Lord by reason and perception. Actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses. But when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by a practical service attitude, there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy, and such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. He can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. The presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize, even for the common man. The procedure is as follows. One can perceive one's self-identification and feel positively that he exists. He may not feel it very abruptly, but by using a little intelligence, he can feel that he is not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, the head, the hair, and the limbs are all his bodily parts and parcels. But as such, the hand, the leg, the head, etc., cannot be identified with his self. Therefore, just by using intelligence, he can distinguish and separate his self from other things that he sees. So the natural conclusion is that the living being, either man or beast, is the seer. And he sees besides himself all other things. So there is a difference between the seer and the seen. Now, by a little use of intelligence, we can also readily agree that the living being who sees the things beyond himself by ordinary vision has no power to see or to move independently. All our ordinary actions and perceptions depend on various forms of energy supplied to us by nature in various combinations. Our senses of perception and of action, that is to say, our five perceptive senses of 1. Hearing, 2. Touch, 3. Sight, 4. Taste, and 5. Smell, as well as our five senses of action, namely 1. Hands, 2. Legs, 3. Speech, 4. Evacuation organs, and 5. Reproductive organs, and also our three subtle senses, namely 1. Mind, 2. Intelligence, and 3. Ego, 13 senses in all, are supplied to us by various arrangements of gross or subtle forms of natural energy. And it is equally evident that our objects of perception are nothing but the products of the inexhaustible permutations and combinations of the forms taken by natural energy. As this conclusively proves that the ordinary living being has no independent power of perception or of motion, and as we undoubtedly feel our existence being conditioned by nature's energy, we conclude that he who sees is spirit, and that the senses as well as the objects of perception are material. The spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of materially conditioned existence. That is the difference between spirit and matter. There are some less intelligent arguments that matter develops the power of seeing and moving as a certain organic development. But such an argument cannot be accepted because there is no experimental evidence that matter has anywhere produced a living entity. Trust no future, however pleasant. Idle talks regarding future development of matter into spirit are actually foolish, because no matter has ever developed the power of seeing or moving in any part of the world. Therefore, it is definite that matter and spirit are two different identities, and this conclusion is arrived at by the use of intelligence. Now we come to the point that the things which are seen by a little use of intelligence cannot be animate unless we accept someone as the user of or director of the intelligence. Intelligence gives one direction like some higher authority, and the living being cannot see or move or eat or do anything without the use of intelligence. When one fails to take advantage of intelligence, he becomes a deranged man, and so a living being is dependent on intelligence or the direction of a superior being. Such intelligence is all-pervading. Every living being has his intelligence, and this intelligence, being the direction of some higher authority, is just like a father giving direction to his son. The higher authority, who is present and residing within every individual living being, is the super-self. At this point in our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of material nature. Yet we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving, or I am doing. Therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body, and that the superior principle of super-self is guiding and supplying us according to our desire. By taking advantage of the guidance of super-self in the form of intelligence, we can either continue to study and to put into practice our conclusion that I am not this body, or we can choose to remain in the false material identification, fancying ourselves to be the possessors and doers. Our freedom consists in orienting our desire either toward the ignorant material conception or the true spiritual conception. We can easily attain to the true spiritual conception by recognizing the super-self or Paramatma to be our friend and guide, and by dovetailing our intelligence with the superior intelligence of Paramatma. The super-self and the individual self are both spirit, and therefore the super-self and the individual self are both qualitatively one and distinct from matter. But the super-self and the individual self cannot be on an equal level, because the super-self gives direction or supplies intelligence, and the individual self follows the direction, and thus actions are performed properly. The individual is completely dependent on the direction of the super-self, because in every step the individual self follows the direction of the super-self in the matter of seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, willing, etc. So far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion that there are three identities, namely matter, spirit, and super-spirit. Now, if we go to the Bhagavad Gita, or the Vedic intelligence, we can further understand that all three identities, namely matter, individual spirit, and the super-spirit, are all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The super-self is a partial representation or plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita affirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead dominates all over the material world by his partial representation only. God is great, and he cannot be simply an order supplier of the individual selves. Therefore, the super-self cannot be a full representation of the Supreme Self, Purushottama, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. Realization of the super-self by the individual self is the beginning of self-realization, and by the progress of such self-realization, one is able to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary conception of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the further explanation of the science of Godhead. So, if we stick to our determination and pray for the mercy of the Director of Intelligence sitting within the same bodily tree, like a bird sitting with another bird, as explained in the Upanishads, certainly the purport of the revealed information in the Vedas becomes clear to our vision, and there is no difficulty in realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. The intelligent man, therefore, after many births of such use of intelligence, surrenders himself at the lotus feet of Vasudev, as confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Text 36. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan nunam. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Purport. Srila Shukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the supersoul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading Personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad because through the machine one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear because the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading Personality of Godhead, and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas, like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and space. This is called Sanatan Dharma or Bhagavat Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavat means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga, as mentioned above. Text 37. Pibantihi bhagavata atmanaksatam Katamatam Shavanaputeshu Sambritam Punantite Vishayabadushitasayam Vajanti tachadanasa dodohantikam. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead.